Hello, Dick. How are you?
Doing well, boys. Big day in Major League Baseball. This is everyone jockeying for position for the stretch run. I mean, you've seen that before in horse racing, and you see it in rugby before a scrum. Everybody trying to get into the best position possible before the stretch run, and that's what teams are doing today. The trade deadline here in about 2 hours.
Okay, so tell us the big deals that have taken place.
Well, the biggest deal of all came earlier this morning when Juan Soto was traded from the Washington Nationals to the San Diego Padres. That is not only, guys, the magnitude of that deal, I mean, that will go down in history as one of the biggest, if not the biggest, trade deadline deal in baseball history. Wow. Because this is a megastar, arguably the best offensive player in all of baseball, and he's 23 years of age. Just to put it in perspective, no all-star player has ever been traded in the middle of the season at age 23 or under. So, I mean, this is historic, and Washington got an absolute haul from San Diego in terms of prospects, and that's what teams are doing right now. If you're in the race, you will try to go get the biggest star you can, and if you're not in the race, then you try to build up your farm system. You build it up with young players that either can play for you in future years or potentially be trade chips in future years when you are a contender. So San Diego made a big-time statement at the L.A. Dodgers today. I understand they're 12 games back of the Dodgers, but adding Juan Soto I think just about evens the playing field in the National League, bringing the San Diego Padres up to the level of the Mets and the Dodgers.
I want to ask you about the great Bill Russell, who passed away, Dick. NBA, obviously, Boston Celtics legend, 88 years of age. Just for our listeners, describe his status in American sport.
I think when you think of the term champion, Bill Russell comes to mind as at the top of the list, even more so than Michael Jordan does. If you talk about the greatest players in the NBA history, Michael Jordan obviously is the first to come to mind. But when you talk about the greatest champions, nobody won more in sports than Bill Russell. And he's tied with Rocket Richard in the NHL for most championships won. And Bill was the primary reason that those championships were won. He actually won championships as a coach as well. He was a coach player for the Boston Celtics in 1969 and won a championship as the head coach and as the center of the team. He was just larger than life, guys. He was really the first mega star, I think, in the NBA, and actually lived here in Seattle for much of his elderly time. Lived in Mercer Island. I'd see him on the golf course here and there. He went to the Seattle Storm games frequently. Saw him many times watching Sue Bird and Lauren Jackson back in the day at the Seattle Storm games. So he was involved in the Seattle sports community, no question about it. Just a terrible loss for the basketball family.
I'll tell you what, Dick, the Cleveland Browns must have felt like they won the lottery with Deshaun Johnson only getting 6 weeks.
Yeah, they're very pleased. The NFL still has another day to appeal it. I'm not so sure they will because, I mean, what's the point, really? I mean, Deshaun Watson, in all intents and purposes, has been suspended for a year already. Now, he wasn't suspended by the NFL. He was not put on the field by the Cleveland Browns as all this was taking place. And we were getting all the information of the Deshaun Watson sexual misconduct allegations. But he's already sat out for a year. And so if he hadn't have sat out last year and he would have just played and then he would have just gotten 6 games, I would have thought that was far too short a penalty. But since he has already sat out a year, I think the 6 games is certainly nothing he's going to fight. The Players Association is not going to fight it. And really, does the NFL want this to linger longer? I mean, they've got their season coming up. Do they want Deshaun Watson to be the biggest story in the league going into the season? Or do they want the play on the field to be the biggest story going on the season and training camps and the preseason games to be the biggest story on the field? I think they would rather have that. And so that's why I don't know what Roger Goodell's going to do because he really likes to exact a pound of flesh on players. So I'm not telling you that he's not going to appeal it. But I am telling you, I think it's a bad move by the NFL if they do decide to appeal it.
How does a quarterback come back, Dick, from having, you know, that year off and then a quarter of this season, or a third of this season, basically, out of the game? Does he hit the ground running? Is he the difference between the Browns, you know, making the playoffs and not? Can you see him having a huge influence on this team early?
Well, I think what he can do is he can learn the offense while he's being suspended. I'm sure that I'm not totally positive of exactly what he can and cannot do. I know he can't practice with the team and he has to be away from the facility, but does that mean they take away his playbook? Does that mean they take away the film? He can't watch film. He can't be on the playbook. I'd imagine he'd be able to mentally prepare to play quarterback for his new team. And that would, you know, we could think of it almost as an extended training camp, an extended preseason, at least mentally for him. But to get the reps, that's going to take some time. So I don't think he's necessarily going to hit the ground running. Cleveland, what they need to do is they need to stay right around 500 while he's gone. If they can be 3-3 by the time he gets back and plays, they're an absolute legitimate playoff team. They had a very good roster over the last couple of years. They really weren't able to get over the top, partly because of the play of Baker Mayfield. And I think Deshaun Watson is a vast upgrade over Baker Mayfield. So I would say that Cleveland is a playoff team in a very tough AFC, but probably sneaking into one of those last spots, like that 6 or 7 spot. I don't know. I don't think they're necessarily going to win the North because Cincinnati obviously is very good, and the Baltimore Ravens are a team that, you know, Lamar Jackson on a contract year, they're a team that always seems to win double-digit games.
Now, we've got a question here from a listener. Morning Orr, can you please ask Dick about the chance of the Bengals this season? Of course, the Super Bowl runners-up, says Sean from Penrith.
I think they take a step back just because everything went well for them last year. You remember last season, they were not a dominant football team over the course of the season. They were 10-7, and they just happened to hit their stride at the right time. Were fantastic in the playoffs, no question about it. You got to tip your cap to them. But I don't see them repeating in the AFC. There's just way too many more talented teams. I think the Buffalo Bills are a more talented team than Cincinnati. You could argue that 2 or 3 teams in the AFC West are more talented than the Cincinnati Bengals. But because they have Joe Burrow, it's kind of the situation that we've had with Russell Wilson the last 10 years in Seattle. When you have Russell Wilson, when you have that type of quarterback, you're going to be in the playoff race every single year, and you're probably going to make the playoffs every single year. I mean, Seattle made the playoffs every year that Russell Wilson was healthy for a full 16 games. So I anticipate that Joe Burrow can have that same type of impact in Cincinnati. I just don't know if they're going to pop and go all the way. I certainly will not pick them to, you know, when I give you my picks at the end of training camp, I will not have them in the Super Bowl. I will not even have them likely in the AFC Championship game.
What about the 49ers, they had some good news through the week. They ended up re-signing wide receiver Deebo Samuel. That's a big play for them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 2 big-time receivers signed this week, guys. DK Metcalf signed this 3-year, $72 million deal with the Seahawks, and then Deebo Samuel a week later signed for just a shade over DK, and that's kind of what happens, is whoever's the most recent, if you're a star player at that position, whoever's the most recent contract, they're just going to bump your salary by, you know, $500,000 or $1 million just to make you feel good that you beat the last guy that signed the contract. I bet DK's probably sorry he didn't go second. You know, he probably would have gotten an extra $1 million. But, you know, the 49ers are an interesting team because, guys, the NFC is wide open for as good as the AFC is. Here I'm talking about Cincinnati not even making the AFC championship game. If Cincinnati was in the NFC, guys, I'd have them in there. I just think that there's that big a gap between the elite of the AFC and the elite of the NFC. So that gives a team like San Francisco, who was a dropped interception away from the Super Bowl last year, a chance to be sneaky. And it all depends on what Trey Lance does. I mean, Trey Lance is, if you just want to kind of take a flyer on a rookie of the year, a super flyer on an MVP. You just never know what a guy like that can do at the quarterback position. Maybe he pops and you're, you know, 100-1 or 150-1 bet on MVP. It was worth a couple shekels to put down there. most likely he's going to take his lumps his first year, but he does have the athleticism, and a really good season from Trey Lance will give the 49ers 11, 12 wins and give them an opportunity to win that division. I'm not saying I'm bullish on Trey Lance, but I would say he's intriguing. I'm going to be watching him very closely, and whether he's an upgrade or a downgrade on Jimmy Garoppolo, because the 49ers definitely said, we are betting on Trey Lance. We are going to let Jimmy Garoppolo go.
Have you got a tip in the Wyndham Championship in North Carolina on the PGA Tour this weekend, Dick?
Oh, let's see here. Yes, indeed. There's a few names. I haven't picked a winner yet. I'm about ready to do that over the next 24 hours. But the names I like, the two Koreans, Siwoo Kim and Sungjae Im. Definitely are guys that play well at this tournament. They seem to fit the mold. Russell Henley was a guy last year that missed a short putt that kept him out of a playoff. Here, that's an intriguing name for a potential top five or a top ten. And then finally, I mean, Denny McCarthy's right there with Cam Smith. If you want a good putting contest, put Cam Smith out there with Denny McCarthy. If Denny McCarthy can do anything with his irons, there's a guy that probably had a little lower number. You probably have him, I don't know, 30 or 35. There's a guy down there at 30 or 35 that can do some damage.
Well, we've got Tour Pro Paul Gow joining us in the studio this morning. Gowie, what'd you make of Dick's selections there for the Wyndham Championship?
Yeah, hey, Dick, you're right on it with there. Hey, Dick, I've got a question for you, especially in the coverage in the US. Greg Norman was just on one of the talkback shows there, you know, talking about, you know, what's going to happen in the future. How are the Americans taking this? You know, we're looking from down here that, you know, it's a bit of a money grab from a few players here and there. But at some time, the US Tour are going to have to sit down with Norman's crew and actually talk, because the Tour have just changed their schedule. They've added bucket loads more money to it. Somehow they come up with some money, didn't they?
Yeah, they certainly did. And the PGA Tour is not going to be able to ignore this and just keep this at arm's length for much longer. They'll probably try for one more year. But as I don't know why we should assume that more players aren't going to be filtering over to the LIV Tour. They just lost Bubba Watson to the LIV Tour. There are more names out there that are being rumored, and I don't see why that they wouldn't move on, particularly if the majors continue to let them play. I think that's a big thing, because I think the majors are very, very important to these players, and if the majors continue to let these guys play, then there's really no reason for them to be out on the PGA Tour when they can make more money and have three times less tournaments than on the LIV Tour than the PGA Tour. So Jay Monahan has got to, you know, step down a little bit from his hardline stance and sit down, like you said, with Greg Norman and figure something out. And hopefully we can have, you know, we had this in football in 1970, guys. We had the AFL, we had the NFL, and they finally sat down and they decided to merge leagues and get everybody back together. And guess what? The NFL's done pretty well since. So let's hope that we can see a combining of forces here pretty soon. As far as the American sentiment, it was negative at first, but then I think it's died down like everything else. Most Americans now realize, hey, we buy oil from the Saudis. Why can't we buy golf from the Saudis?
I mean, good point. You sell arms to the Saudis. And
27
of the 40 sponsors on the US Tour do over $40 billion with the Saudis. So
that's right.
There's lots to play out here.
Yeah. Thank you, Dick.
All right, boys. We'll talk to you next week.